Beautiful congregation we have before us today. It's so good to have all of you here with us. I am excited to be in the house of the Lord. I'm excited to be able to share with you from the Word of God. Is that accurate? I don't know. Let me back up a little bit. You know, I don't know if you know this or not, but I am excited to be here. I will tell you this, though. If you've ever, I don't know how many of you have been in church or how long you've been in church for any length of time, but from time to time, you may hear a preacher talk about how whatever it is that they're preaching on, oftentimes they deal with that thing either prior to getting in the pulpit or at some time after the pulpit. They end up dealing with some of the things that they often touch on while they are preaching. Can I just let you know that we've been preaching the last several weeks about spiritual warfare? War in the Heavenlies has been our sermon series. I've heard a lot of positive, a lot of great feedback from all of you about how this sermon series has blessed you and how it has ministered to you and how it may have challenged you and how it's provoked you and how it's opened your eyes to things that now you're seeing and understanding, and it's helping you and equipping you. And as I stand before you today, I can tell you this. Let me be a little transparent. This week has been one heck of a week for me and for my family. And it's been one of the most challenging weeks that I've been through in quite a while. But I'll tell you this. I'm still standing here, still have a microphone, still got a platform, still have the Word of God. Still prepared to teach and preach to all of you, hopefully to encourage you, hopefully to inspire you, hopefully to provoke you to a closer walk with Him, and that you leave this place feeling victorious and feeling triumphant and feeling like no matter what the enemy might bring your way, you know that you are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. And so, we're coming up, I think this might be the fourth week of our sermon series, War in the Heavenlies. With each of these, I've given them a subtitle. I had three different subtitles to give this particular message. I let people vote on it. I wanted to do the edgier one, but we did not do the edgier one. I shied away from it. Today, we're dealing with the subject of silencing the accuser's voice. If you remember, I talked to you last week about how the only authority, the only power that your adversary has in your life, the only access that he gets into your life is through the power of agreement. When you come into agreement with the enemy, you thus empower him. You give him power and you give him authority and you give him access into your life when you start coming into agreement with him. If you remember, I talked to you about how there's a biblical principle that deals with alignment, where two or three of you shall touch and agree on any one thing on earth. When you come into agreement, you come into alignment. When you come into agreement with God or the Word of God, you come into alignment with heaven. When you come into agreement with the adversary, you're coming into alignment with hell. I want to take it one step further today. And if I were to give this a subtitle, I would call it Silencing the Serpent. Because some of us have listened to the adversary, listened to the devil, bring accusations against the brethren. He will stifle and he will try to stop the kingdom of God from moving forward by bringing railing accusations against you and against me. And today, we are going to tell the devil to shut the heck up. I almost went the other way, but that was my more edgier title. Heck wasn't the word, but we have children in here, and so that was not edgy for Mama Gail. I've heard her say 10 times worse at the house. If You have your Bibles, and or if you don't have your Bibles, can I just invite you for just a few moments? Will you stand with me as we reverence and honor the Word of God? If you're able to stand, let me invite you to stand with me for just a moment. I'm going to read a couple of verses, and then I promise I'll allow you to be seated. I know you've been standing and worshiping with us, and I'm grateful for the engagement that we have when we worship together. I'm just going to read a few verses. We'll pray, and then I'll let you be seated. I'm going to the book of Revelation, and the church said, ooh. Revelation chapter 12, out of the New King James Version, this is what it sounds like. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. A great place to shout, by the way. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of their testimony. Well, go ahead and testify. And they did not love their lives to death. Before you pray and before I pray, turn around and greet somebody around you and just testify to them. Give them your testimony. Tell them I'm glad you're here today. Tell them God is victorious today. Amen. Amen. You guys look wonderful today. Would you do me a favor? Would you pray for me? Will you pray for me? Will you pray for me? If you pray for me, I'll pray for you. How's that sound? You ready to pray? Now, sometimes when I start praying, it's like a holy hush falls over this congregation. And I know this congregation. I know you can get loud. So let's pray. Let's pray with boldness today. The Bible says to come before the throne of God with boldness. I'll pray boldly for you if you pray boldly for me. You ready? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this day that you have given to us, Lord, the privilege and the opportunity to stand upon this platform to share the most precious, lovely, most powerful, cutting word of the living God. Heal us with your word. Challenge us with your word. Provoke us with your word. Move us with your word. God, we prepare our hearts through worship to receive the word of the Lord. My heart is ready. My mind is open. My ears are ready to hear what thus saith the Lord of hosts. Speak to my life. Speak to my heart. Change my life today. Do not let me leave here the same way that I came in, but let me leave changed, transformed under the power of the anointing of the Spirit of God that's in this place. Speak to me, Lord. I need you, God. I need your word. I need your anointing. We need your power. We thank you. We love you. We bless you. And we praise you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we do pray. Before you're seated, touch two people on your row. Give them the other subtitle to the message, The Blood Still Speaks. And then you may be seated. Amen. Thank you, Angel. Thank you, Zach. Thank you to the worship team. Just give me a moment or two, and then I'll have you guys come back up and help me to close out the remainder of the services. We see where the Lord leads us today. I got into ministry when I was relatively young, and I started my first pastorate when I was about 30 years old. And 30 might not seem like young to you, and it certainly from my perspective now, 30 is young. In fact, 50 is young. 50 is absolutely, without a doubt, young. 30, I didn't know anything. And And I started my first pastorate at 30. And at the age of 32, I came here to this church to take over and to pastor this church. And I amalgamated two congregations, one that I planted, one that I started, and then this one here. We joined them together, and I began to pastor at this church. And when I got here, the thought of me coming to pastor this church, I was too young, I was too inexperienced, I had no idea what I was doing, and I would, at that particular time, I said, I'll show them, but now looking back, I'm thinking, they were right, and or at least I thought maybe now looking back, maybe some of them might have been right, but at the end of the day, God called us, and God appointed us, and God put us in this place. And I remember thinking, well, I'll prove myself. And at 30, sometimes you feel like you've got something to prove. And so you go in, and I came in, and I was pastoring, and I was doing the very best that I knew how to do. And then lo and behold, after being here for about 2 years, I suffered my very first ever church split. And it was brutal, let me tell you. And it was a challenge as well. And in that moment, I remember crying out to God and saying, God, were those people right? Were they right that I'm not cut out for this? Were they right that I am too young? Are they right that I am too inexperienced? And I remember crying out to God. And looking back now, I realize that what was happening was I was coming under a spiritual attack. And it wasn't necessarily my voice that I was hearing. I may have been hearing the adversary's voice saying, you're too young, you're too inexperienced, you're not qualified, you'll never make it, you're going to fail at this. I heard it time and time again. And the scary thing was I started leaning into and started getting to the place where I might start believing some of those voices. But then I love it when God knows how to get a hold of you, and God got a hold of me. And I learned real quick that what I was doing and what I was dealing with was my adversary, the devil, trying to bring wreck havoc in my life and try to overpower me in the spiritual sense to try to keep me from becoming and doing all that God wanted me to become and do. And if you and I were honest with one another today, many of us know exactly what it feels like to hear the accuser's voice bringing accusations against you. Maybe it wasn't in a church split, or maybe it wasn't a leadership crisis, but in moments where something might have went wrong, a voice came creeping in saying, you'll never change. You're just like your father, or you are a failure, or you're too broken to be used by God, or worse yet, God is too disappointed in you. You don't measure up. You'll never be good enough. These are the accuser's voice, and it might sound like your own thoughts. It might even come through your voice or even through the voice of someone else, but at the root of it, understand this, it is spiritual. It's not just self-doubt, it's accusations. It's not just discouragement, it's spiritual warfare. It's not just about that one failure, it's trying to pull you into an identity of shame and identity of fear and an identity of unworthiness. And here's the danger. When we start to agree with those lies, even subtly, we begin to live out that false identity. We shrink back. We silence our voice. We stop praying prayers of boldness, and we settle for a version of ourselves that God never authored. And because whenever accusations rules, listen to me, the kingdom of God is restricted. But wherever the blood and the testimony rise up, the kingdom of God advances. Touch your neighbor and tell him we're in a battle. We're in a battle, and the battle is often in our mind, our identity, and in our agreement. We may think the problem is with people, with pressure, or with circumstances, but the real battle is who you are agreeing with, the voice of your father or the voice of your accuser. The text that we read says, "Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven." Let's pause right there. This isn't in my notes, but I can't help but to recognize and notice that I heard a loud voice in heaven. Heaven gets loud sometimes. I said heaven gets loud sometimes. in this case, heaven got loud. Why? Heaven got loud because the accuser has been cast down. Yeah. You better help me preach today. Right there in the middle of the end times revelation, the identity of your true enemy comes out. Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. And what does he do? He brings railing accusations against you day and night before God. But here's where you need to look at. This is the phrase that you don't want to miss. This is the place where you should shout a little bit louder. And that's the part where it says, and he has been cast down. Do you know why you need to shout there? You need to shout there because he holds no more high ground. He doesn't have the final say. He doesn't get to define you. He's been thrown out of heaven. He's been kicked out because the victory of Jesus Christ. You ought to take the next 10 seconds and just shout over the fact that he's been cast down. All those accusations, all those things that he's been saying against you, those lies he's been telling you, he has been cast down. Come on, somebody. He doesn't get to say who you are. He doesn't get to define you. Hey, this is where you, heaven got loud. Why? Because the accuser was cast out. How much louder should you get? How much louder should the church get? Knowing that the accuser has been cast. You know why that's powerful? Because the enemy has no legal authority to condemn you unless you give it to him. And too many believers are living under the weight of a disarmed enemy because they have unknowingly come into agreement with a lie. Here's what the passage tells us. I don't know how far we're going to get, Angel, before you get excited and run back up here and jump on these keys. I don't know if I can. I'm just going to hit the door running. How about that? The text tells me that we overcome. How do we overcome? Huh? I got to get ready. You saw the pastoral outfit and you went, oh, he's prim and proper. I'll take his jacket off. The passage tells us how to overcome. If you are a note taker, write down point number one. You are an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb. I might be at the wrong church, maybe the wrong denomination, maybe on the wrong street, but is there anybody in here that still believes that you are an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb? Is there anybody in here that still can shout over the blood of the Lamb? When I was coming up in church, the old timers would clap their hands, they would stomp their feet, and they would shout whenever the preacher just mentioned the blood of the Lamb. I wonder, is there anybody at Riverside in 2025 that still gets excited about the blood of the Lamb? I need you to understand that you are an overcomer, but not because of how strong you are, not because of how smart you are, not because of who you connected with. You're an overcomer. Why? Because of the blood of the Lamb. It still reaches to the highest mountain. It still flows to the lowest valley. It still washes pure and white. Is there anybody in here that gets excited? I know it sounds archaic. I know it might sound a little brutal. But the Bible teaches me that I overcome the accuser through the blood of the Lamb. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me a no other found I know. Nothing but the hey. Hey. Oh. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 12 says that the blood of Jesus speaks better things than the blood of Abel. The blood of Abel cried out for vengeance and justice, but the blood of Jesus still speaks today, and the blood of Jesus cries out mercy. Hey, you didn't hear me in here? The blood of Jesus cries out grace. The blood of Jesus, if you don't shout over this when I'm walking out that door, the blood of Jesus cries out forgiveness. Hey! Hey! Touch your neighbor and tell him the blood still speaks. Touch your other neighbor, tell him the blood is your legal covering. It cleanses. It justifies. But it breaks every legal case the enemy tries to build against you. I know you need Bible. I got it. Colossians chapter 2. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the... In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authority. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. When the accuser of the brethren brings a railing accusation against you, Jesus, who's the defense attorney, looks across the courtroom and says, right, but what about the blood? Yeah, they lied. What does the blood say? They cheated. What does the blood say? They were fornicators. What does the blood say? But they're addicts. What does the blood say? They're adulterers. What does the blood say? Hey, they're sinners, but what does the blood? Marvin, you better preach. Forgiven. You know what the blood says? The blood says paid in full. You better shout in this place. You better shout like your sin has been forgiven. Like your transgression has been erased. Like those accusations no longer have power over you because Jesus nailed them to a cross. Woo! Said they were overcomers by the blood of the Lamb. Don't you ever let anybody talk you out of how powerful the blood of Jesus really is. Said, they were overcome how? By the blood of the Lamb
And secondly, by the word of their testimony. Your testimony isn't just your salvation story. It's your spoken agreement with God's truth. Like Marvelous Marvin said, I am forgiven. I am chosen. I am righteous in Christ. God is with me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I need a little help in here. Is there anybody on this side of the room that has a testimony? You're an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Is there anybody over here on this side of the room that might have a testimony? Do you have a testimony? Has he been good to you? Has he brought you through? Has he redeemed you? Has he healed you? Has he kept you? Has he redeemed? Come on, I need some help. They're outdoing you. Don't ever let anybody outpraise you. Don't ever let anybody outshout you. Don't ever let anybody outdance you when it comes to the word of your testimony. I wish we did it back in the old days. I wish somebody would testify. Can I get a witness in here? Has he been good to you this morning? Has he been good to you this week? Has he been good to you? Garland, does he sustain you? Does he keep you? Does he watch over you? If so, you ought to take the next 15 seconds and give God praise. Let your testimony sing out. Let your testimony come out. Testify in the courtroom of heaven. Jesus is my Redeemer. Jesus is my Savior. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my King. Somebody testify and give him. See, you have a choice. You can repeat what your accuser keeps saying, or you can declare what the blood has already done. Your testimony isn't just your story, it's your stand. And when having done all, I can't. You don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Sometimes you just need to. Yeah, but you're a failure. You failed. You messed up. You didn't go to church last Sunday. You didn't go to church last month. You didn't pray. You didn't read your Bible. But you messed up. Your testimony isn't just your story of salvation. Your testimony is you standing. And when having done all, stand therefore. You know what we need, George? We need a church that knows how to stand a little longer. We padded our chairs and padded our pews, and we told people they don't have to stand. They can just sit. You can relax. You can. No, learn to take a stand. Hey. So when he starts bringing those railing accusations, you don't have to say a word. Just point to the blood and stand. Every railing accusation that the accuser tried to bring against you, Jesus already took it and nailed it to the cross. Touch your neighbor and tell him he nailed it. He nailed it to the cross. He's still trying to accuse you. You just point to the cross and the blood and say, he nailed it. I don't know what you're talking about. He's trying to get you to come in agreement with that, and many of you have, but not after today. After today, you stop buying into his lies and you stop agreeing with him. And I make a prophetic declaration that today is the day that your testimony takes a stand against your adversary, the devil, that's been lying to you. In fact, you know what? You ought to practice testifying. You ought to get the people that are sitting behind you. I know when you turn around, they're going to be turned around to yell it in the back of their head. Yell at them, I'm free. I'm forgiven. I'm chosen. I'm loved. I'm forgiven. Tell them. Testify in this place. Testify in this place. Don't make me get you up and move across the room and tell people you ain't talked to yet today. Do you understand? This ain't gimmicky. This ain't me trying to hype you up. I'm trying to get you to understand you got a testimony. And the devil's kept your mouth shut for too long. Somebody told you, sit down and be quiet. Don't sit down and be quiet. Stand up and open your mouth and declare the goodness of God. Declare the goodness of your Christ. Declare the goodness of your Jesus. That's your stand. That's your stand. That's your stand against your adversary, the devil. Stand. When you testify, you're coming into agreement with what heaven is saying about you. When you testify, you come into alignment with heaven and all of heaven's resources. I wish I had somebody to help me. Amos said it this way, can two walk together unless they are agreed? When you walk with Jesus... When you walk with Jesus, you come into agreement with what Jesus has to say about you. Beloved, daughter, son, forgiven, healed, overcomer, not a victim, victorious. Come on, your testimony brings you into alignment, brings you into agreement. Your testimony, healed. You know what happens though? Go ahead. Testify. Testify. I wasn't going to share this, but I got to share because it's just too good to pass up. You know, when you get to be a certain age, they want you to go have tests done on your body, screenings to make sure that you don't have cancer, that you don't have this, that, and the other. And I said, okay, I'm at that age. I'll go get that done. And so I went and got that done. And then, you know, I did it about a week and a half or so ago, forgot about it. It was no big deal. And then I'm out on the golf course. And I'm playing golf on my league with my two old fellas that I like to golf with. And I never look at my phone when I'm on the golf course. George, I never look at my, put it in there, and then you can't get a hold of me. I'm not talking to you. I only get a few hours by myself. I'm putting it away. I'm not on this phone. And then one of the old fellas is a diehard Orioles fan, and he said, hey, man, can you pull up the Orioles score? I said, absolutely. I sure enough can do that. I reached in there, and I got my phone out to pull up the Orioles score. And before I could pull up the Orioles score, I saw I had some missed calls on there. I said, who in the world calling me? It was my doctor. And my doctor called me and left me a voicemail. He's got your test results in. You're going to have to come in and talk to me.
this doesn't look good. You're going to have to come in and see me. I got an appointment and I got an opening in the next 30 minutes. Can you get here? I'm on the voicemail going, can I get there, brother? I'm in a golf league right now. No, I can't get there. And Tina heard it because she was sitting next to me. I had it on speakerphone. And, of course, when your doctor calls you after he has some screening done to tell you you need to come in and see him, what do you think happened? Fear of everything I've been preaching against, of everything I've been talking about telling you to stand, telling you to speak right, telling you. And I'm over there going, I need to leave. I need to go home. I need to process this. I've got to research this. I got to do all of this. And the first one I called, you got to call somebody. Me and Tina's in the truck trying to figure it out. And who did I call? I called Mama Gail. And I told Mama Gail what had happened. And Mama Gail said, you don't have anything wrong with you. I said, she didn't hear the doctor, though. It's pretty concerning. And she didn't hear him, so she don't know what she's talking about. And then I went on. And then I came to church today. And I was in my office, and here come Dwayne. And Dwayne looked at me and said, what's wrong with you? You don't look right. So I had kind of a tough week. He said, what's wrong? I said, well, the truck breaking down on me. Truck can get fixed. I said, well, I didn't get a good call from the doctor. He said, what'd he say? I told him what he said. And you know what Dwayne said? Dwayne said, there's nothing wrong with you. You don't have anything wrong with you. You're good. And as I stand here preaching this, I remember a scripture in the Bible, thank you, Holy Ghost, where, what? Where two or three of you shall touch and agree on any one thing, ask it in heaven and it. Here's another one. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, so it shall. The devil is a liar. I told George. George said, there ain't nothing wrong with you. You know, let me tell you what happens, though. When we're here on Sunday and the organ's playing and the choir's singing and everybody clapping their hands, I'm in agreement with heaven. And you shout. And we all excited. And then we go home and a doctor calls. And then all of a sudden we forgot what we preached. We forgot what we were singing about. We forgot what we was praying about. We forgot all of that. And you know what I wrote in my notes? James said this, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Either you are in an agreement with heaven or you are in agreement with your adversary. Which one is it going to be? Choose you this day. Who are you going to listen to? And sometimes we let the voice of our adversary get louder than the voice of our God. And sometimes we get double-minded. We are praising with one hand and chained to guilt and shame on the other. Come on, somebody. We shout on Sunday, but we're crying on Monday. You shouting on Sunday morning in the altar, but you get a call from a doctor. You get a call from your banker. You get a call from your boss. You get a call. And all of a sudden, doom, despair, and agony on me. Because you're listening and immediately you come into agreement. Well, I'm going to tell you this, Dwayne. I did not come into agreement with what the devil said. I'll come into agreement with what Dwayne says. I'll come into agreement with what Mom says. I'll come into agreement with what George says. I'll come into agreement with what heaven has to say about me.
He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace is upon him. And with his stripes, I wish I could get some healed folks in here to help me praise God in this place. I wish I could get somebody to help me thank Jesus in this place. Somebody praise him in here.
Said, can I have a few more minutes of your time? Just give me a few more minutes and I'll cut you out. I'll cut you loose. I just need a few more minutes of your time, if you don't mind. Because I got to hit this point here. They're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. And lastly, they did not love their lives to death. You know what that is? Total surrender. They needed to surrender. The reason so many believers struggle in spiritual warfare is because they still love their lives too much to fully surrender. You can't defeat the accuser if you're still afraid of what obedience might cost you. You can't walk in freedom when you're still trying to cling to comfort. You can't wield kingdom authority if you have divided loyalty. Choose you this day, who are you going to serve? That's the decision that's put before you. Choose life and death is set before you. Choose life. Whew. The early church overcame Satan because they were fully surrendered. They weren't just defending themselves from accusation. They were laying their lives down for the mission of the church. They did not love their lives unto death. What does that mean in spiritual warfare? It means this. It means they stop trying to save face. Too many times we're so hung up on our reputation and what other people will think about us, and we try to save face. You all do it on Facebook and Instagram. You're trying to paint a picture of how lovely everything is, how great everything is, and it's all falling apart around you because we've gotten to this place where we've got to try to save face. In spiritual warfare, they didn't love their lives unto death. They said, I'm surrendering it all to God, and I don't care what it costs me, and I don't care what it looks like. And some of you are so afraid to surrender it all to God because you're afraid you might lose some influence in the circles that you run in. You might lose some friends. You might lose your job. You might lose your... So what? So what? To live is Christ, but to die is gain. Come on, somebody. You're trying to protect your reputation at the cost of your calling. And when they surrendered their lives, when they surrendered, and it meant this, it meant that the enemy had nothing left to use against them. Why? Because they already laid it all down. Some of you still trying to hang on to some things. Watch this. The believer who is truly free from the fear of death is spiritually untouchable. Good God Almighty. Let me give you some prophetic application for this. The accuser loses power when your life is no longer your own, because he'll say, you'll lose everything. But you say, I already laid it all down. He says, but you might suffer. And you'll say, I've already died with Christ. He says, you're unworthy. And you'll fire back, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. I highlighted this because I didn't want to miss it. When you no longer love your life more than you love his voice, the accuser has nothing left to work with. Let me say that again. When you no longer love your life more than you love his voice, the accuser has nothing left to work with. Because the greatest warfare weapon isn't just your voice, it's your surrender. Surrender to him. Give your life over to him. When you say, I've laid it all down, I don't have anything else. And what can he accuse you for then? What can he bring against you then? You've laid it all down at the cross. You've laid it all down. You've surrendered it all to the Lord. So I wanted to get some practical things. Let go of managing your image. Don't protect your reputation at the cost of your calling. This was hard for me, Tish. I had to get to this place. Be okay with being misunderstood or overlooked for the sake of obedience. Number two, confess and repent quickly. Don't hide sin. Drag it into the light. Confession breaks the accuser's leverage. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive. Surrender the right to comfort. Choose obedience over ease. Fast when it's hard. Witness when it's awkward. Serve when it's an inconvenience. A life laid down is a life hell can't control. Touch your neighbor and tell them, let go of control. Stop trying to manage outcomes and protect yourself. Trust God with the results, even when it's messy and painful. Surrender isn't weakness, it's kingdom warfare. Lastly, speak truth over yourself daily. Declare, I am loved, I am free, I am chosen, I am clean. That's why I wrestle with you standing up in an AA meeting and saying, I'm an alcoholic. No, you're not. You are free. You are delivered. You are clean. Psalm says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Are there any redeemed in Riverside today? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Come on, I'll give you 15 seconds. A double-minded man is unstable. He's divided in his loyalty. Stay loyal when it costs you. Stay faithful when people walk out on you, when they criticize you, when they reject you. Stay faithful. Refuse to trade obedience for acceptance. Loyalty in the fire is proof that you're dead to self and alive to Christ. Lastly, this, the accuser loses power over people who have nothing to prove and nothing to hide and nothing they won't give up for their Jesus. Come on and stand to your feet all over this room. Thank you for your attention. Thank you for allowing me to share with you. Thank you for allowing me to preach, and thank you for allowing me to be transparent and share things with you. Here we go. What are you in agreement with, or who are you in agreement with that you need to have broken off of you today? What lie have you been living under? What voice have you allowed to shape your identity more than the voice of God? I need to ask that again because that's powerful and I don't want you to miss it. What voice have you allowed to shape your identity that is louder than the voice of God? Because this sermon today is not about a sermon. This is a divine interruption for some of you. God brought you here today to break off the power of the accuser that's been bringing railing accusations to your life. He brought you here to cancel every false agreement, to reclaim your authority, and to silence the voice that's been tormenting your mind. So here's what we're going to do. Touch your neighbor and tell him, shut the door to the accuser. Stop giving up ground. Stop giving place to the adversary. There's some of you keep running back to old relationships that you have no business fooling with. Don't make me come down there and read your mail to you. Some of you are watching things, listening to things. You're listening to podcasts that bring up negativity. You're listening to things that are distracting to you. Your internal dialogue that you rehearse is still telling you how messed up and how jacked up you are. You need to break that off. You need to shut the door to the accuser. You need to shut it off. You need to cut it off. You need to be done with it. Number two, the old-time saints will like this one. I've never preached this in any sermon that I could ever remember in 22 years, but I'm going to preach point number two. You need to reapply the blood daily. You don't know anything about that. They don't know anything about that. See, in the old time, JoJo knows about it. In the old days, even though JoJo's not that old, she's not. I am. No, I'm not. I'm not coming into agreement with the accuser anymore. I'm young. Back in the day, I don't know if y'all ever did this, but back in the day, we were taught to learn how to plead the blood. And we would plead the blood. In fact, I know one of our chat hosts is watching right now, Sheila Cummings. I know she's watching right now. Sheila Cummings was probably one of the first ones I ever heard plead the blood. And Sheila always pleading the blood. Sheila pleads the blood more than anybody I know, always pleading the blood. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's nothing wrong with pleading the blood. Why? Because I told you a minute ago, the blood still speaks. And the blood's got something to say about your situation. So you go, well, how does that match up practically? How do I do that? When you get up in the morning, you say, I plead the blood of Jesus over my mind. I plead the blood of Jesus over my body. I plead the blood of Jesus over my husband, over my wife. I plead the blood of Jesus over my kids. I plead the blood of Jesus over my finances. I plead the blood of Jesus over my ministry. I plead the blood of Jesus over my house. I plead the blood of Jesus over my car. I plead the blood of Jesus. Oh, come on, somebody. High five your neighbor and tell them, learn to plead the blood. You're not begging. This ain't you begging. No, this is you making a declaration. This is you making a declaration about the blood of Jesus. It means you're applying the finished work of Jesus to your life by faith. That's your faith talking. That's your faith speaking. It's not begging. It's a bold agreement with the blood of Jesus and what it's already accomplished in your life. Revelation 12, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Exodus 12 says this, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. They would take the blood and they would put it on the doorpost of their house so that the angel of death wouldn't come near their house. The blood in the new covenant speaks a better testimony or a better word. The blood marks homes for protection. Hebrews, the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things. 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Romans 3:25, by his blood, how? Through faith. The blood is activated by faith. Pleading the blood is how we exercise our faith in the covenant that we have with Jesus Christ. And lastly, and I'm done, I promise you, this is it. I just want to say this. I might not preach it, but I want to say it. Prophesy your identity. Don't just preach your history. Your story matters, but your identity matters more. I wrote this and had to repent after I wrote it. Some of you are trapped in the testimony of what happened, but God is calling you to declare who you become. We're better at rehearsing the hurt from the past than we are at making a declaration of who we are in Christ Jesus. We are really good at making sure we hit every detail of how brutal and how bad the divorce was, how bad the betrayal was, how bad the sin. We are good at rehearsing and talking about that, how horrible the addiction is, how horrible the whatever it is you've dealt with. Listen, I've heard it this year alone. There was one person I crossed paths with not long ago. They were so good at rehearsing the trauma that they lived through that they became their identity. They couldn't live without it and tell everybody they knew about the trauma that they went through. And they told it over and over and over and over and over again about how they were a victim and how they were victimized. And I'm thinking, but what about now? I'm sorry that happened to you then, but who are you now? Who are you becoming? Because the Bible teaches me that I am now a new creation in Christ Jesus. Behold, all things have passed away. All things have become new. Come on. Come on. Learn to prophesy your identity.
I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm the lender and not the borrower. I'm blessed going in and I'm blessed going out. Come on, I am above and not beneath. I am a more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Learn to testify and prophesy who you are and where you're going. I would give you another true story. This dude right here came into this church, I don't know how many years ago it was, stood up here on a stage, rehearsed. He wasn't rehearsing, he was trying out. Remember that, JoJo? You were here, up here trying out with a band. He was the youngest. He's up here playing the guitar and he started singing. And the other ones may have been well more accomplished. They were older and more mature and maybe more accomplished than him. But when he started playing, I was sitting over here somewhere. And when he started playing, I perked up and I leaned in. I said, "Who is that?" And I said, "There's something about that young and I just can't get away from." And I remember just building a relationship. I started talking. Now, we had an accomplished worship team. We've always had a good worship team up here. We've had great singers, great musicians, great everything. Powerful, good, anointed, good. This dude, this young whippersnapper over here, out of zeal, out of excitement, he said, "One day I'm going to be the worship leader at Riverside Church." And the people that was up here then, you should have seen their faces. Oh, that'll never happen. And I said, "That will never happen." And I couldn't be more happier of who's on those keys. He prophesied who he was going to become. He prophesied his identity. And everybody would have said, "You're too young. You're too unqualified. You don't know how to do it." He was prophesying who he was going to be. Stop rehearsing the pain of your history and start making declarations of who you are, who you will be. Come on, somebody give God praise. Okay, we're in a moment. JoJo, we're back in a moment, and here it is. Some of you have been saved, but you haven't settled in your spirit that you believe in Jesus, but you've been tormented by the voice of the accuser. Some of you have been carrying guilt that Jesus already forgave. You've been walking in shame that Jesus already covered. You've been questioning your place in the kingdom because hell has convinced you that you're still on trial. But you're not on trial anymore. The judge has ruled. The blood has spoken. The accuser has been cast down. So if you're not right with God, if sin still owes you, or owns you, if the voice of the accuser has something that he's holding against you, and you know that this time he's not lying, he does have the goods on me. Today is the day to break the power of sin and silence his voice once and for all. Get ready to surrender everything to God. Surrender every part, every aspect, every area of your life to him. Jesus didn't just die to forgive you. He died to free you. So right now, if you're ready to say, "Jesus, I surrender. Jesus, I repent. Jesus, I receive your mercy. Jesus, I want to be covered by the blood, and I want to walk in victory," then what I want you to do is in a moment, I'm going to open the altars up. I want you to come in just a moment. And if you can't wait and you want to come now, come now. I won't stop you. But today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of deliverance. The enemy has held things over you. He's held things over you. Now, for the rest of the people that are in the room, you know Jesus, you've been saved, but you're battling the voice of accusation. You've been hearing you're not enough, you're still dirty, you've never really changed, God doesn't really care about you, or worse yet, God is disappointed in you. But the Lord sent me here today to tell you that the accuser's voice is being silenced today. Today you are stepping out of guilt and into glory. I declare the blood of Jesus louder than your worst day. Come on, somebody. I speak a Holy Ghost confidence that's rising up on the inside of you, a boldness to walk in your new kingdom identity.
So if you're tired of listening to the accuser's voice, if you're tired of him keeping you in check, altar workers, will you come? Prayer partners, will you come? If this message has dealt with you and spoke to you and you're tired of the enemy bringing railing accusations against your life and you want them broken off of your life completely, then today is the right day for you to be in church. You didn't come on this Sunday by happenstance or by accident. I believe in divine order, and I don't believe in coincidences. I believe in sovereignty. And I believe God orchestrated today, and it just so happens he worked it out in your calendar, in your schedule, that you would be in this place today, that I would preach this word today, that you would hear the accusations that the enemy has been bringing against you can be broken off of you once and for all. You don't have to stand up and declare, I'm an addict. I'm a victim. God doesn't love me. God doesn't care about me. God's disappointed in me. You don't have to listen to that anymore. So here we go. I open this altar right now. If you feel the need to respond, I want you to come. I know it's a little late in the afternoon. I apologize for keeping you, but if you need to go, I dismiss you. You can go. But for everybody else that needs to be at this altar, I want you to come. Come on, come in boldness. Come in faith. Don't back up. Don't shy away. Don't say, who's going to be looking at me? Let me tell you something about this church. This church doesn't operate like that. We don't act like that. We'll shout with you. We'll cry with you. We'll pray with you. Listen. You need prayer, come. Come and get in front of one of these prayer partners. They'll pray with you. Come, let us pray with you. Let us believe with you. Let us pray with you. Let us believe with you. We'll break off the accuser's lies. Some of you come into agreement with the lie of the adversary, and you've been walking in agreement with him for far too long. Some of you started to believe God can never use you. The devil is a liar. God wants nothing more but than to use you. Some of you think, well, I'm just not qualified. If he called you, he'll qualify you, I promise. He'll equip you. You're not too broken. You're not too broken. Society might have thrown you away. Your family might have threw you away. Your friends might have dismissed you and thrown you away. But Jesus doesn't. No, Jesus is in this room today, and he's standing with his arms wide open, saying, come unto me, all you who are heavy, weary, and laden, and I will give you rest. And you've been tormented for far too long. Your brain's been tormented for far too long. Your spirit being tormented for far too long. And really what you need is rest. But you can't find rest because you believe what the accuser says. Come now and get your rest. Come now and get that broken off of your life. Come now. Don't leave. Don't leave tormented. Don't leave vexed. Don't leave anxious. Don't leave depressed. The enemy told some of you, you're only going to make it if you keep taking those pills. You're only going to make it if you take another drink. You'll only be able to numb the pain if you drink more alcohol. You'll only be able to numb the pain if you... The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. No, what you need is the blood of Jesus over your life. You need the blood of Jesus over your life. You need the blood of Jesus over your life. Won't you come? Won't you come? They're going to sing. They're going to sing. We're going to pray. And if you want to come, we'll pray with you. If you need to leave, I dismiss you. You can go. Thank you for being here. But don't leave if you need prayer. Don't leave if you need prayer. Come, let us pray with you.